following announcement has been paid for by
the Lucha Jerks.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Don't be a bully.
Be a star.
No, I'm being real. Fuck that.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
You people.
Oh, now wait a minute. I don't mean you people. I mean you people.
You want Lucha? I've got Lucha for you.
And the Lucha Jerks. Hey, Alberto Sanchez.
TJ Fimbres here.
Sorry about the audio quality. We're on a phone this week because, my work schedule's been killing me.
How's your little vacation last week?
Your little vacation?
Your little... Dude, I was up the day we
The one day you were up. The other day. I called you.
Yeah, and I was asleep. I'm sorry about that. Because someone couldn't keep their pre-planned appointment.
Well, listen to you. So this is all my fault that we had a best of episode last week.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm the dedicated one here.
You're the dedicated one?
I am.
If you were so dedicated, you would have picked up the second night. Do you realize that, right?
I don't think we planned on doing it the second night.
We did because I told you about it. Look through your text, too.
Can we get to talk about wrestling instead of your bitching?
All right, lightning round. Raw has gone below 3 million viewers in a non-holiday edition of the show.
Coming off a pay-per-view. It's supposed to be a pretty big pay-per-view. Product sucks, ratings suck. Simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple as that, and we'll get to how bad the product is. And I mean, it's injuries, it's lack of ability to build new superstars. It's a bunch of different things, but injuries are really killing them right now. They're putting the eggs in the basket of people that just, you know.
I understand the injuries, but it is really no one to blame but themselves for not allowing talent to develop that organically and trying to force it on people.
Yep, like the whole Roman Reigns thing. We'll talk about that in the Survivor Series recap, but
it's Cesaro. Yeah. I mean.
And the sad thing is now Cesaro's injured.
With the Wyatt, if they would have let him grow it organically, he could probably be a main eventer right now instead of jobbing every feud that he's in.
Yep. All right. Next up, Solomon Crowe, gone from NXT.
Is this really a big loss?
It's really not. I mean, I wasn't really hot on the gimmick, the hacker thing to begin with, and I was just like... It's kind of a waste of time. Like, I just felt like this was kind of a wasted gimmick, and it was stupid. And I know he'd be an injury prone. He really didn't get a speed underneath him in NXT, but I just didn't like the gimmick at all. And when we saw him at NXT San Jose, there was no X-Pac heat even. There was no heat. There was no pop. It was just like, meh. I think he fought Baron Corbin. And, I mean,
there's a world beater.
I know, exactly. There you go. There's more charisma in my pinky than in that ring coming off.
Could have taken a quick power nap.
Have you ever seen Solomon Crowe's matches?
They're not world beaters.
Yeah, I agree. So. Speaking of the shitty product, Mick Foley put this Facebook post out, and he's basically threatening to walk away from the programming at this point, too.
What did the Facebook post say?
Basically just ran down how Sasha and Becky Lynch didn't really have time to develop anything in their match on Raw this last week. And he said the same thing when Zack Ryder was getting over, how they're just kind of ignoring the people that are kind of getting over on their own. And he just basically ran down the product and he says it's really boring and he's about ready to walk away from it, not watch it, find something else to do with his Monday nights.
Well, that's why they're at 2.9, because they're not listening to the fans. The fans are telling them who they want to see, who they want out there, what they want to be working, and it's just a big old fuck you. I mean, Nick, I love you, and I stand behind you, man. I mean, really.
There's a reason we say Foley is God, and this is part of the reason.
Yes. And I mean, I think we pay for the WWE Network just for the old stuff.
Not the new stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely going to...
And the original program.
That's definitely where it's going to have to start coming from is network cancellations.
And I like the original programming. We'll talk about the Breaking Ground series that I'm kind of into now. That's kind of, I don't know, we talked about peeling back the curtain a little bit more. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. CM Punk looking to debut at UFC 200. Milestone UFC, of course.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's kind of hard to be excited because I don't know how he is as a fighter. If you were telling me he was coming back at WrestleMania, I would be ecstatic. But knowing that, I mean, I get to see him, but not knowing what his fighting ability is, it's,
You know, if I'm Vince right now, if I'm Vincent Hunter, I back up the brakes truck for CM Punk. I really do. I try to get him out of there. Just for WrestleMania.
I don't think it's going to happen, but
I
don't think no amount of money would ever bring CM Punk back. I know I've mentioned that before. It's what they would have to do.
And by the way, did you hear what CM Punk said about New Day at a Chicago, I guess it was a Q&A in Chicago? Let's just run down that audio.
What is the last wrestling show you watched? I've heard you don't watch too many wrestling shows anymore.
No, I don't. The last wrestling show, the last wrestling show I watched, like from top to bottom show, years ago. Years ago. Kofi was just at my house because Raw was in Chestnut and Godley's, and I was like, of course you are. So I've watched strictly New Day segments, and I think, you know, like, once again, there's, how late are they on those two? Xavier, not so much because I don't really know him, but like, Kofi and Big E were two guys who I was always kind of like, you know, championing backstage. Let them do something. And then finally, I think they're doing their own thing, and that's normally what gets over there, is when people just lose their minds. And the big key element of being successful there is you have to reach the point where you just don't give a fuck. And if you've watched those guys, they clearly don't care. And it's brilliant, and when the performers in the ring are having fun, everybody else around, it's infectious, they have fun. You know, the fans can see, oh man, these guys are having a good time, and it's brilliant. That's the most I've watched.
As far as Raw goes, that's the highlight of the show.
Oh, there you go.
So basically, Kofi's in town. He decides, you know, out of respect for his friend Kofi, Kofi and him are tight. He's like, the only thing I watch is New Day segments. That's the only thing I watch on Raw, which is, let's be honest, the only thing they got going for themselves right now. So, he watches New Day segment. He likes what they're doing. And like he said, it's basically when you don't give a fuck, that's when things really start happening for you.
Right. And I mean, CM Punk is right. New Day is the only thing that I get excited for to watch on Raw. Besides looking at Sasha Banks, and I'll be real, her ring ability is pretty legit. But they have nothing right now. It's a horrible product. It's suffering, and they're suffering in the ratings, like we mentioned earlier. What is it, a 2.9 now?
Yeah, under 3 million.
This is when Nitro was kicking their ass. These are the ratings they were pulling when Nitro was kicking their ass.
Well, did you hear what the former Johnny Swinger said from WCW? Said that if these ratings were happening on Nitro back in the Bischoff days, Bischoff would have fired people. That's how bad they were.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what more needs to happen? I mean, for them to get in their head that this product sucks.
I totally couldn't agree more. Backstage, apparently. Go ahead, sorry. We'll finish up right now.
I mean, they need to make it more adult. They need to make it more risque.
Yeah, I liken it to, like, you know how Britney had to grow up with her audience? We're now getting to the point where the WWE needs to regrow up with her audience. I'm not calling for a full attitude era, but they need to grow up again.
Oh, definitely. They can be a little bit risque while still being PG-13.
I totally agree. Backstage, Lana apparently has nuclear heat.
Who does?
Lana.
Oh, what happened? What's the story behind this?
Well, besides the leaking of the engagement to Rusev, apparently inserting herself into the Paige storyline and calling Paige a bully has caused her to have nuclear levels of heat backstage.
I mean, how many divas of the past have had pretty bad heat? I know there was a lot of people that didn't like Sable when she was very big.
Sure.
But let's be real, Lana isn't stable. She was getting there before she got hurt, but Lana isn't stable big.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, you know, breaking kayfabe is kind of what has gotten her in this position where she just kind of, you know, beats her own drum.
I mean, do you run the chance? I mean, Rusev, he may have ended last night, but...
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that, too, in the Survivor Series and wrap up on Survivor Series.
I
don't understand.
Did Lana go because of the seat? Was that something that may affect Rusev?
I don't know. I don't know if Rusev would put Lana before his career. You know, that's an interesting question. You know, Jerry Lawler had that same incident where he had to decide, was it going to be him or the cat? He walked out for a little bit, and then he came back when he realized that the cat was, you know,
fucking
who she
crazy.
Was. And a hoe, let's be honest.
She was. I understand your pain, Jerry, and I feel you.
By the way, let's just talk about this stable real quick. You got three guys who have been beating up the lower cards, mid-card area, and now we're supposed to buy that they're a main event stable? Are we really supposed to buy that Sheamus, Barrett, and Rusev are the main event stable?
They're pulling shit out of their ass. I mean, Levis isn't going to draw. He isn't going to carry.
Nope.
Roman Reigns, he probably can't draw, probably can't carry either. I think the smart thing would have been giving the belt to Dean Ambrose.
Really? You don't think a heel Roman Reigns would have worked?
No, I don't think Roman Reigns would have worked. Once the draw from him being champion, and all he's going to have left is really the women and the kids.
Just like Cena.
Kind of like Cena, but he has nowhere near the charisma of Cena.
That's true. That's very true.
I've come around and learned, or have... John Cena has earned a lot of respect for me, especially lately.
Yep.
I mean, things I've gone through, I know I touched on it before about the little girl in the cancer center, that was her hope and everything, but just seeing how it makes sense that he stays who he is because he's still drawing and he's still getting heat.
Well, I don't think he gets heat anymore. I don't think John Cena gets heat anymore. I think when John Cena comes back, he's going to be a refreshing change.
You think he's going to have a little bit of different gimmick or personality?
No, I think he comes back the same old thing. I think the IWC is going to completely embrace John Cena. I really do.
Well, I'll believe him when I see that, because right now they hate him. And you know what? I could see what you're saying. If I sit and think about it, the whole chanting the John Cena sucks when he comes out and the Let's Go Cena sucks, it's just kind of become a part of wrestling now that's going to happen no matter what.
True. Very true.
So, coming up
part two, we're going to talk about Survivor Series and how terrible things can really be on a pay-per-view.
Hey, it's P. Alberto Sanchez here. If you're looking to start a podcast, log on right now, epishow.com. They make it so streamlined and so easy for just an average person, a beginner, to start a podcast just like this one. It's epishow.com, ran by my good friend Randall Bennett. Just barely started up. Sign up now, epishow.com, to start your very own podcast like this one.
And part two of the Lucha Jerks, Alberto Sanchez.
GJ Simbis.
All right, so Survivor Series. Of course, the warm-up match was Bo Dallas, Dudley's. I don't remember who was in this thing.
You know what? I'll be honest. I miss the WWE Network was shitty for Survivor Series. I got to it late because, you know, I'm going to watch the U of A game first, the Arizona game, basketball game. So I got to it, and every time I tried, I clicked the Survivor Series, and I hit start over, and it kept jumping to live.
Yeah, we had that same problem where we would, like, hit start over, and it would go right to the Bray Undertaker match.
Right.
Like, all of a sudden, like, it jumped ahead, and we're waiting for Undertaker to come out. I'm like, do they not just want us to watch anything before this? They just want us to go straight to Undertaker?
Yeah, so, I mean, I saw Bray Wyatt and the Undertaker. I saw... the championship match and the change. And then by then, it was screwed up and everything was spoiled for me. So what was the point?
Yeah, it was big problems. Were you watching on Apple TV or just a regular computer?
On the Apple TV.
That's, I think a lot of people were talking about problems with Apple TV.
Yeah, I probably should have tried the computer or my tablet, but yeah, I mean, I was like, well, okay, this, it definitely couldn't have been an Apple TV issue.
I totally agree.
So, I think it was a lot more than what it was. It's definitely server issue.
So, the preliminary matches were interesting. I went back and watched them later. The preliminary matches were interesting in the sense that, first and foremost, this Del Rio Mex-American thing needs to stop. It's not working.
Yeah, he's getting booed, but it's not natural boo. Go back to his Aristocrat. I mean, what the hell is Ricardo Rodriguez still on the payroll? What the hell is he doing that he can't come out?
Like, is Ricardo Rodriguez going to be Jack Swagger's manager? Is that where we're going with this?
Oh, God. I was so excited for Del Rio to come back, and I should have tempered my excitement because it's the WWE, and they don't know what the hell they're doing right now.
They're failing completely. So Del Rio's not drawing any pops. He's not drawing anything right now. And the thing is like with the Hispanic crowd, if they built him up right, I feel like this could be something that would get over the Hispanic crowd and therefore get over with everybody else, but they're not doing it right.
Right.
Next American thing doesn't work.
I mean, who are the head bookers right now? There's something going on where they are just completely out of touch with their audience.
Yeah, completely.
I have never seen a business be so out of touch with the people that make them their money.
No, I agree. One thing I did notice on one of the preliminary matches being Ambrose and Owens, and Steve Austin talks about it a lot. He's like, I'm sick of the false finishes. I'm sick of people kicking out of finishers. You notice that in that Kevin Owens Dean Ambrose match, when that was all going down, Kevin Owens tried the pop-up powerbomb multiple times, and Dean Ambrose found a way not to be powerbombed. Therefore, it made sense. It made sense.
Right.
And I was just very impressed. Like, maybe someone back there that was in charge of that match realized that Ambrose kicking out of the pop-up powerbomb shouldn't happen.
Yeah, this whole kicking out of finishers, they're not finishers anymore. It's just part of a regular moveset now.
Yep.
I mean, and it happens so much. I mean, it was cool. Like, I mean, I get Cena when they were building up Super Cena.
Yep.
Super Cena, not Super Saiyan, Super Cena. But now it's completely watered it down so much.
Because it happens all the time.
Yeah, it's expected now. We know what's going to happen. We know. I mean, it gets to the point where I'm watching the match. It's like, okay, Cena's done 2 attitude adjustments. Cesaro's only done. What the hell is this finisher called?
Which
pile driver?
The tombstone?
Yeah. Okay, only one of that. So we know the next one is going to be, if Cena kicks out of the next one, then I know Cena's going to win. It's become, everything about the product has become so predictable and it just pisses me off.
I think that's the thing, like with when the gimmick fits it, when it's like a Brock Lesnar, anytime, or when it's Undertaker at WrestleMania kicking out of finishers, that works because it's like, okay, Undertaker at WrestleMania, we get it. Like he's going to kick out of finishers. It's going
right.
to happen because it's like another notch that he goes up. It's part of his character. Super Cena kicking out of everything makes sense, other than, you know, of course, whatever Del Rio finished him off with.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, I mean, it works for some situations, but they use it so much. Like you said, it waters it down. It takes the wind right out of the finisher.
Right. And it makes it stale now. I mean, you know what you're expecting. You know, in the match, it's like, okay, we know we're going to see 15 attitude adjustments. We know we're going to see. You know, we're going to see the Phoenix Splash get messed up. I mean, it's just, it's stupid how they allow that.
Completely agree. I don't remember what the next match was because, again, we talked about jumping all over the place in terms of, like, the the feed and stuff, but I wanted to talk about the Divas match. Listen, there was somebody that tweeted out earlier today with a picture of Charlotte. It's like, I'm just here to talk about my dad. This is accurate. I'm so sick of this. Like, this is why, I mean, it's funny because Paige is supposed to be the first real heel of the Divas division since forever. And people are cheering for Paige because they're so tired of hearing about Ric fucking Flair. Let's let Charlotte build her own legacy.
I can let Ric Flair come out and put a figure four on his daughter and win the Divas title. She's like, what they're...
Oh, they're probably going to both going to cry after it happens, too. Because that's what happens. But Charlotte goes over Paige. Again, I don't know why Sasha's not in this match. I don't know why... A lot of things are happening. You wanted a Divas Revolution. You need to get Sasha away from Naomi and Tamina. They're weighing her down at this point.
I mean, fucking put her with New Day.
Yeah, that would work.
I mean, just check out the videos of where New Day interacts. They're actually bad. They definitely have chemistry together, so they're not going to put Eden with New Day. New Day's eventually may get stale. I don't see it just because. Let's be real. They look like they're just straight out having fun out there.
Yeah, speaking of New Day, they were probably one of the highlights to both Raw and Survivor Series. Of course, Goldust comes back at Survivor Series.
That was a pretty good. I enjoyed that.
I guess they're going to, you know, Stardust was going after Cesaro. Cesaro gets injured. Now Stardust and Goldust are going to feud. Goldust's backup is going to be the PTP. And I guess the Ascension is going to back up Stardust.
I wish it could just be Goldust versus Cody Rhodes. I've been wanting to see that match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's where it's going. I hope that's where it's going.
Loser keeps the dust gimmick. I mean,
yeah, maybe.
But,
I don't know.
I mean, this Stardust thing just sucks. It's horrible. Cody Rhodes is getting over being Cody Rhodes. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the Stardust thing was funny for maybe the first four or five times he was out. Now it's just it's fucking stupid.
The Dudleys are out of the title picture now, too. I'm surprised that they're completely not being mentioned. Now they're fighting the Ascension. I don't know what's happening right now.
It's simple. Ascension's going to go over on the Dudleys to try and build them up.
Build them back up into the title picture because that's occupied right now by the Usos and New Day and, I guess, Lucha Dragons.
Yes. And you know what? Let's build it up. Let's have a little TLC match at WrestleMania for the tag team titles.
Well, I mean, we have a ladder match for that. Like a four-way tag, fatal four-way match. Where
right. One
of the Usos was injured, the New Day were there, and this is before they really were getting, you know, their feet
right. Underneath
them.
And speaking of which, I went back and watched some old highlights of today, Kofi Kingston in the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
That they need to have that every single year. That was, anyway, back on topic. Well,
let's change it up. Let's make Big E have the spot next year, Royal Rumble, where he's doing something crazy to stay. Why not? Who knows?
Yeah.
As long as Kofi comes out with his hair in a unicorn shape, I'm completely fine with this.
It totally looks like a fucking dildo on his head.
Didn't it look like a penis? Looked very phallic.
Yeah. It did. I was like, God damn, imagine if he's doing that off the chick.
By the way, Tyler, I guess Dolph Ziggler kind of breaking the whole kayfabe thing on Twitter, giving New Day props. You know, Dolph Ziggler being a heel, being a face, and New Day being heels. Dolph is reaching out.
He got it talking to her about that, I'm sure.
I don't think Dolph cares anymore.
No, they're not pushing the guys they should, so...
But, I mean, they're putting him with a guy that they're both putting on great matches, very underrated matches, and no one's paying attention with Tyler Breeze. I'm a big fan of Tyler Breeze. I love the gimmick. I actually do like the gimmick. I think his ring work is exceptional. I think he's definitely one of the people that's very vastly underrated, despite the exposure he's getting right now. He's deserving of so much more.
Right, definitely. And let's be honest, we did not see this coming.
We were worried Tyler Breeze was going to be a lifer down in NXT.
Right. But no, they somehow they listened to the fans here and brought Tyler Breeze to the main roster. Or maybe it was just fucking stroke of luck that they brought him.
Who knows? But I'm digging it. I like Tyler Breeze. The VIP lounge area that he has at all the Raws. I'm digging the whole thing. It's great.
Yeah.
It's definitely got some legs. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, hopefully WWE realizes what kind of money they might have here and play to it. But, you know, like not selling New Day unicorn shirts at fucking Hell in a Cell was a big issue.
I mean, why don't we have rainbow unicorn things to put on your head back right now?
Yeah, like foam hands. Let's get the rainbow unicorn horns.
Right.
To put on your hands.
It's ridiculous. I mean, God, they're failing at every single level right now.
And that's the funny thing is, like, the New Day are just throwing out the most random shit. Like CM Punk said, they don't give a fuck. They're throwing out the most random shit right now. And they're like, here's all this stuff you can market, and you're not.
You know I like country music, and I was fucking cracking up yesterday.
Yeah, that was great. How Kofi just completely, this isn't me, this is my character saying.
Yeah, he's totally broke it right there. I'm like, holy shit, they don't give a fuck. They're going to be themselves, and they're just having fun doing it.
And it's getting over.
Oh,
I don't know how many times it needs to be drilled through to the management's head that the people that get over are the ones that are themselves turned up a little bit more.
Yep.
And that's working for the New Day. Hopefully, eventually, it'll work for Cesaro. It's working for Cesaro, but whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the New Day is so good. Just an example. I'm at work today. I'm on my lunch. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna watch some clips of New Day. I need a laugh. They'll make me laugh. So I showed two of my coworkers, one of the female, one male, the clip of them fucking twerking in Michael Cole's face. And they're like, holy shit. He's like, you need to let me know when these guys come on Raw on Monday so we can watch it.
Yep.
I was like, all right, as soon as their music hits, I'll text you guys. But that's how over these guys are. They're getting people that haven't watched wrestling in over 20 years cracking up and laughing at it.
I'm not, you know, the thing is, like, I'm not even hearing New Day sucks anymore. Like, it was kind of mixed for a little bit, but now it's completely New Day rocks.
Yeah, they're so over, they just need to let them run with it. Don't try to get the cheap heat by insulting the audience. Just continue to let them be slimy weasels, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. They've totally got that Eddie kind of charm to them where they can get away with that shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I could definitely see some sort of live sheet steal the win.
I mean,
with them.
Like CM Punk said, they don't seem to give a fuck, and it's working. It's completely working.
Definitely. They are it. They need to run with it.
So we're going to move on now to the main event match that pitted Roman Reigns against Dean Ambrose, which we all saw coming a mile away. We were hopeful.
And,
go ahead.
And you know what? Even when the end came, I was like, please, I hate Roman Reigns so much. I was like, please let Sheamus cash in Money in the Bank.
And I don't. And I don't feel that way about Sheamus. I think Sheamus is, like, I just don't. I don't see it.
Oh, I don't see it either. It's just that I don't like Roman Reigns that much.
So here's the thing. Like, I love the moment at the end where Ambrose and Reigns are like, after Ambrose does the honors, Ambrose like told him, same thing John Cena told Daniel Bryan back in what, 2012, 2013. It's in the books. It's in the books. And
yeah,
I was like, and I knew it was going to happen because it was like, it was like 2 hours and 38 minutes in. I'm like, they've got 22 minutes now. They've got 22 minutes.
Like I said, I was hoping. I just, anybody Roman Reigns at this point, just because I have a, it's kind of like where it took John Cena this long to get my respect. Not like he probably ever gave a fuck, but just because I don't like being forced down my throat.
Yeah. And I mean,
especially when it's someone that's obviously not ready for it.
And that was the weird thing. It was like, they booked that thing entirely like Daniel Bryan the year before he won it. That SummerSlam before he won it, they had the confetti and the fireworks, and then they had him on the ground crying. Roman Reigns is crying. I'm like, it doesn't work because, like, we think Roman Reigns, the perception is that Roman Reigns is a badass. And him crying about losing a title is not going to gain us any Daniel Bryan-level sympathy for him. Like, that's just not going to work for his character.
Especially when he's not Daniel Bryan over.
No. He doesn't have an ounce of Daniel Bryan's charisma. And that was the thing that I was shocked, because when I went to a house show at College Station, when I met somebody we'll talk about here in a moment, and I was like, I'm like with my girlfriend at the time, and I'm like, oh my God, I just want to slip away with this chick. The problem is that like when he came out, I was like, oh, Daniel Bryan, he's getting no cheers, no pops, no heat, no nothing. It's just like very, very vanilla response to Daniel Bryan. I'm like, maybe this guy's going to find himself. Like, we knew him from Ring of Honor. We knew he was a badass in Ring of Honor. But at the same time, like, I'm not sure this character will transition over to WWE. And then, of course, once the thing with Yes, Yes, Yes happened and Kane, we saw what was going on.
Yeah, we saw Daniel Bryan be himself.
Yep. So at that point, like, we knew Daniel Bryan had charisma. There's nothing to indicate that Roman Reigns has anywhere near the level of charisma. And here's the other thing that I don't understand. Roman Reigns played college football in Atlanta, and they still heaped massive amounts of heat on him.
It's just showing that Roman Reigns is not the one that they need to call or be ready. It's not. It's
Cesaro.
It is. Right now, Cesaro is the one that they should be riding now.
Like, once Cesaro gets healthy, you know, they really need to start kind of like considering that he might be the guy they need to kind of put their stock in. I know the language barrier is an issue with them. They feel like it's a barrier. I don't agree with that.
Give them a mouthpiece, shit.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, you know what, I'm even at the point right now with all the bullshit that when Cena comes back in the title, let him tie Flair.
Yep.
That's where I'm at right now. I'd hate to say it, but they need Cena right now.
Yep. And do you think that Cena Reigns match is the most likely thing going to headline WrestleMania this year?
Probably, and let's be honest, WrestleMania was what it was because of Brock Lesnar. It had nothing to do with Roman Reigns.
Oh, I agree.
Nothing to do with Roman Reigns. And I mean, I'm going to watch WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania, but
so do you think Roman Reigns?
If Roman Reigns is in that main event, it's going to be so bad.
Do you think that Roman Reigns gets the title back at TLC?
It's a possibility. I don't know.
I think it happens.
It's a possibility. I don't even know right now. I don't even know what will work. I don't know. It's just so unpredictable. I mean, what they book is predictable, but what they are going to book, if that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
is a total crapshoot.
Yeah, I totally agree. And by the way,
what they should do, they don't do. And obviously what they do is not working.
Cooling the Money in the Bank winner before he cashes in, it's starting to get cliche.
Right.
They cooled Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, and look what happened. They cooled Sheamus at Survivor Series, and look what happened. Like, we're starting to get kind of expected.
Right.
Oh, Sheamus lost. Okay, look what Edge did with Flair. Flair beat Edge. Edge was cooled. Edge cashed in. Won title. It's
right.
Getting cliche. It's getting overused. Like, we know what's going to happen. If Sheamus jobs out real quick, like he did in the World's Championship Tournament, oh, he's out
right.
in the first round, and he's the Money in the Bank winner, we know what's going to happen. He's getting cooled specifically for the surprise to come. But it's not
right.
a surprise anymore. So why don't we...
It's pointless.
Why don't we stop cooling the Money in the Bank winner? Why don't we just, like, for example, why don't we just go, okay, let's say that Seth Rollins wins Money in the Bank next year. And then Seth Rollins comes out, beats whoever's got the U.S. title, wins the U.S.
Right.
title at, like, WrestleMania, and then cashes in the same night and holds both again. Like, maybe something like that, to where it's, like, it's completely out of the ordinary, where Seth wins a title and you're like, okay, well, Seth wins the tag team title, let's say. And so he comes out and he gets the pin to win a tag team championship. So you're thinking at this point, like, there's not going to be a cash in. And sure as shit, there is. And you're thinking, okay, this is a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't even really like the Money in the Bank anymore. It's...
Give it to the Divas.
Let's try Money in the Bank with the Divas. But with the guys, it's not appealing anymore. I don't care about the Money in the Bank winner, because all it's going to be is, oh, we know who's going to get the title next.
Yep.
And this just in, ASU lost to Marquette.
I'm glad you pointed that out. And by the way, this Rusev being with Barrett and Sheamus is not working. Get Rusev away from these two. Rusev needs to be a guy that is working on his own all the time. Maybe gets dragged into something from every once in a while just for, you know, a one-off match here, a one-off match there. But you can't put Rusev in a stable with Barrett and Sheamus. It doesn't work. Barrett and Sheamus together, work. Work. Because they're both, you know, they both have similar ancestry, where Rusev is kind of like this guy, like, oh, he's just got nothing else to do. We're just going to stick it with these two. And there you go. So.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Coming up part 3, we're going to talk about the new show, Breaking Ground. I don't know if you've been able to check it out. We're going to talk about that on the network and all the NXT people that we're kind of getting a good glimpse of next.
Hey, P. Alberto Sanchez here. When you're going through and you're doing all your wedding planning, I know there's one problem that comes up, and that's who to invite and who not to invite. Who's going to be upset they didn't get to see your wedding, and who's not going to be upset that they didn't get to see your wedding? Anyway, the point being, the best way to ensure people see your wedding is to have a wedding video, right? And not just any wedding videographer will do. You need a wedding cinematographer, and one that can turn around your wedding video in a matter of days. And that's the guy in the Pacific Northwest. His name is Reed, and he's with Best Made Videos. He can turn your special day into a film. That's right. And if you need any proof, just log on right now, bestmadevideos.com, and you can see all of his work over the summer up there in the Pacific Northwest. And who knows, maybe for the right price, he'll come wherever you are and make your special day an event you will remember online for all those friends and family that didn't get to see it in person, and they get to see basically a film quality version of your wedding. Best Made Videos is a site. Reed is the guy. Check out his work right now. You will not be disappointed with your choice in immortalizing your special day.
And part 3 of Lucha Jerks, Calvin Sanchez. Have you watched Breaking Ground yet?
Unfortunately, I have not. It's something they're all on my watch list on the WWE Network, but unfortunately, working a lot more now. I haven't had the chance to check it out yet.
Right, I'm busy, just like you. I'm currently writing a novel at the same time I'm working, you know, full time mode. So, not to make excuses, but I have actually watched a few episodes of Breaking Ground, and I'm very impressed with how they're pulling the curtain back and letting the regular fans know the people behind the characters. They spare no expense at, like, letting everybody know that, you know, Tyler Breeze had failed with his previous characters. Despite being an FCW heavyweight champion, at one point, Tyler Breeze, as Matt Dalton, or whatever the fuck it was, Mike Dalton, had failed to get over with the fans. I like how they're pulling the curtain back a little bit more and giving her, like, these are the people behind the characters. And in that same respect, like, seeing Dana Brooke's work ethic is making me a large, huge fan of Dana Brooke and her desire to be the best.
Yeah, I know we've talked about her before previously, and I'm pretty sure when that was out or when we were talking about her, it was mentioned that we see Trish Stratus levels of growth with her.
Yeah.
Where she's just, where when she was first out, her first couple matches, I was like, what? And now it's getting to the point where she just keeps getting better and better each time out.
She is literally, literally the first diva in the Performance Center in the mornings and the last one to leave. I'm not lying when I say this.
And that's what gets you respect right there. And the fans knowing that, that's what's going to get over with fans as well.
I mean, you look at Eva Marie, who's been in the WWE for 2.5 years and hasn't bothered to learn one goddamn wrestling move. That's why she's not getting over with the fans, is because people, you've been around for 2.5 years and you haven't done shit. Where Dana Brooke has been in 6 months and done a lot more than you have. And not only that, but in the last episode, Dana Brooke and Mojo Rawley had this moment in this car where they were like, Dana Brooke has so much charisma, and I just don't feel like they're tapping into it. Which is a surprise. I shouldn't be surprised. So anyway, Breaking Ground is just a great show, and you need to check it out. I definitely encourage it.
Oh, I definitely plan on checking it out. Let's be honest, though. You know me, once college basketball season starts,
you're pretty useless.
Yeah, like, I will never, if ladies, you're out there, you'll never be a football widow with me. You're going to be a college basketball widow, though.
It's true.
And we're sitting here doing the podcast, and I'm watching Kansas Law at UCLA.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, I like how you're saying ladies, but that situation is kind of changing rapidly.
So Kansas is just blowing out UCLA right now.
Nice change of subject there. Are we not allowed to talk about that anymore? I guess not. All right. Coming up.
Not yet.
Part 4, Lucha Jerks. We're going to talk about a guy that just can't seem to get his shit together and is now on the unemployment line.
Hey, it's P. Alberto Sanchez here. If you're looking to start a podcast, log on right now, epishow.com. They make it so streamlined and so easy for just an average person, a beginner, to start a podcast just like this one. It's epishow.com, ran by my good friend Randall Bennett. Just barely started up. Sign up now, epishow.com, to start your very own podcast like this one.
I'm an ass man. Yeah, I'm an ass man.
And part of the
Lucha Jerks, Alberto Sanchez. You know who the fuck I am by now, and that's my song right there. I'm an ass man.
It is your song. I play it every time you say you're an ass man.
I play it very fitting for this segment right now.
What is Kip Sopp doing, dude? What is Monty Sopp doing?
I have no idea.
So get this. Billy Gunn, who was banned from competitive powerlifting for 4 or 5 years, whatever, decides, after his band's up, to get back into it, and of course tests positive for testosterone imbalances.
What gets into these guys' heads? Are they just so muscleheads that they can't think anymore? I was pot for roids again, or pot for roids.
Is it really the drugs, though, that he's addicted to, or is it the thrill of being involved in powerlifting? That's the question now.
What the fuck is it? I'll never understand. I can't say what the fuck the thrill of powerlifting is, because I'll never understand.
It's heartbreaking. You know why? Because Billy Gunn had one of the biggest upsides I think I've ever seen in anyone. When he came in, he did the rockabilly thing. It wasn't over. He did Mr. Ass. I'm like, okay, he's athletic. He's got charisma. Like, he's probably got more charisma than anybody outside of John Cena, you know, the typical guys.
Right.
He had boatloads of charisma. I'm like, this guy could be a world champion. I firmly believe that.
Oh, he definitely had the ability. It's just, unfortunately, so these guys, you know what? We can't really make jokes of addiction is a terrible thing, no matter what it is. You know what I'm saying? And
yep.
It just sucks that you have to absolutely hit rock bottom before you're willing to deal with it.
I agree, and I thought that had come. It came from Road Dogg, but apparently has not come from his counterpart, Mr. Ass. And it sucks because I'd love to see this guy in a more prominent role, but I think he's kind of blown it this time. And I think that, you know, they'll pay to send him back to rehab, but I don't think they'll ever put him in the position again.
You know what? with that and how much that they're forced to crack down on the wellness issues and everything, do they have some sort of program where they just talk to guys about who've dealt with addiction, who've have hit rock bottom and have come back and...
They've got Luger. They've got Luger to do that now, apparently. Luger is doing that with current talents.
And why would not have Goldust?
That's a good idea, too.
In it. I mean, have you read his book, by the way?
No, I have not.
It was a very good read, and you feel bad for the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because, yes, he was out of control. Yes, he spiraled downward, but it's the addiction that does it, and it is a disease. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie. It's a disease, but just his story of how he overcame it is just so, it empowers you. You know what I'm saying? You get the feeling like there's nothing you can't do, and let's get Goldust to talk to these guys and get them to maybe try and understand
totally
how bad it is to even just get started.
Totally. All right, coming up to part five, we're going to close it off with a very interesting topic, very, very enlightening and very relevant rising topic, or maybe not rising.
Yeah, this has been a pretty limp podcast so far, so we need to end with this.
Yeah, maybe we can take some of those drugs that we're about to talk about next.
Hey, P. Alberto Sanchez here. When you're going through and you're doing all your wedding planning, I know there's one problem that comes up, and that's who to invite and who not to invite. Who's going to be upset that they didn't get to see your wedding, and who's not going to be upset that they didn't get to see your wedding? Anyway, the point being, the best way to ensure people see your wedding is to have a wedding video, right? And not just any wedding videographer will do. You need a wedding cinematographer, and one that can turn around your wedding video in a matter of days. And that's the guy in the Pacific Northwest. His name is Reed, and he's with Best Made Videos. He can turn your special day into a film. That's right. And if you need any proof, just log on right now, bestmadevideos.com, and you can see all of his work over the summer up there in the Pacific Northwest. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe for the right price, he'll come wherever you are and make your special day an event you will remember online for all those friends and family that didn't get to see it in person, and they get to see basically a film quality version of your wedding. Best Made Videos is a site. Reed is the guy. Check out his work right now. You will not be disappointed with your choice in immortalizing your special day.
Part five of the Lucy Jerry, Alberto Sanchez.
Hey, Jason, but it's the first time in a while we've actually introduced ourselves in all the segments.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think with a best of segment, we're going to go there again. You know, like we're going to reintroduce ourselves to the crowd. I don't think we introduced ourselves at all during the best of segment. I don't think we used any clips where we reintroduced ourselves.
Right.
So yeah.
So very, very sad. Subject, we're going to talk about it very softly.
I wish you would have like not such a flaccid approach to this topic. It's very serious.
Well, it's my bad. It's a hard subject to approach.
It is very, and you gotta be, you know, you gotta carry it with soft, you know, kind of kid gloves.
I mean, if you're going to talk about it, the situation needs to be erected very delicately.
I completely agree. And, you know, pump some blood into the topic and get it to the point where, you know, it's usable.
That's accounted. I mean, but it's difficult for some guys to rise to the situation, you know what I'm saying? No matter how hot the chick is.
And this one is hot.
I'm sorry?
I wouldn't have any problem with this one. Sorry, I'm done playing puns. I wouldn't have any problem with this one. I mean, we've watched her do the splits numerous times where her ass crack has been shown to the entire world.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I've been in the same room with her, and she looks better in person than she does on the screen.
Oh, she looked real hot in Ultima Lucha.
So, Morrison and Molina, off and on for the last, what, 13 years now?
Yeah, this is the most unhealthy relationship I've ever seen.
It's a very toxic relationship. You know, it took Taz 13 years to get to the WWE. Hopefully, it doesn't take Morrison 14 years to finally just end things.
Right. And definitely, it seems like Molina's, she's fucking crazy, dude.
And I mean, you know, there's enough to say about, like, and I'm gonna break down a little bit of secret conversation I had with Miss Molina over Twitter. We used to follow each other. That's not the case anymore for obvious reasons.
Did you get blocked by someone else now?
No. I stopped following her. So we had a direct message conversation where she confided in me and told me that John Morrison does not value her. And this was, probably like 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, she's confiding in a, at this time, complete random stranger that John Morrison doesn't value her. And of course, I was like, you know, well, not you, baby. why hang around someone that doesn't value that you for that long?
You know what? It really sucks because all my life, I'm being a little open with you guys here. I'm probably one that could be accused of not valuing that person that's sitting next to me. You know what I'm saying? So I can kind of see, I can kind of know what's going on in Morrison's head a little bit, but at the same time, it still sucks.
especially
when you come to realization with exactly how you were. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, I mean, so there's something to be said about, like, Molina, quote-unquote, being crazy. But at the same time, like, how much of this is Morrison's fault for making her crazy to where she tweets out a picture of this Cialis prescription on Twitter?
Wow, John, really that hard of a problem, huh?
And like I said, I don't give a shit how crazy Molina is. I wouldn't have that much of a problem giving it up for her.
I mean, how old is John Morrison? Early 30s?
He's gotta be our age.
And yeah, if you're having to drop Scalus right now, dude, that sucks. Unfortunately, fortunately, the only time is with Whiskey Dick with me. You know what I'm saying? Whiskey
mm-hmm.
Dick is a thing.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I mean,
unless you got Whiskey Dick, there's no, I don't understand. I mean, I get there's medical issues involved with it and everything, but that must just really gotta suck.
No, I don't think John Morrison's the guy that takes steroids. So at this point, I look at this as more of a psychological issue. And the ability that he can't get it up for her, specifically her, is you know, he's taking Cialis to kind of like, okay, once he gets aroused, like it can stay up. You know, it's not going to go away despite the psychological break.
Thing where guys can't get off unless it's sex because they watch too much porn unless it's like sex like a porn.
Sometimes. It can ruin you, yep, completely.
Shit, I think I probably need to slow down on my porn.
Yeah, you might need to, you know. Maybe watch 2 videos a day as opposed to 24. I don't know.
I don't watch 24, dude.
I'm sorry, 19, my bad.
I'm not a teenager anymore, 21, thanks.
Thanks. So anyway, the point is just, she tweets a picture out of a Cialis prescription. We're all left wondering what the hell's wrong with Morrison. Maybe it's just a situation where they both need to kind of go their separate ways. I understand that it's hard to let go of someone you've been with for 13 years. But how did it even get to 13 years?
Right. I mean, if you're at the point, I mean, Morrison, bro, if I don't care what causes you to need that, if your girl is tweeting out pictures of you and your problem, dude, no. Later. Deuce out.
To the curb.
I am one of those people that especially believe that relationship problems should stay between two people, and she put it out there for millions and millions and millions of people.
Not only that, but like telling me, you know, complete stranger at the time, incompetence, that Morrison treats her like shit. That was kind of weird, too.
I lost respect for you.
Why would you lose respect for me?
You totally should have seen where that got.
I totally should have what?
You totally should have seen where that went.
On an edit? I totally should have what?
You totally should have seen where that would have gone.
Where would you have gone?
Dude, I told you, well, I was married at the time, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
I don't know. Is Melina one where you ruined a good relationship? Well, I can't say my marriage was a good relationship, but...
I mean, no. I mean, like, I was dealing with a neurotic, bipolar person who constantly demanded that I close a movie deal. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you.
You're pretty hard on yourself.
I'm like Morrison. Listen, like, I'll have,
count it.
I'll have to say this. Like, had Melina taken me up, because I offered. Behind, yep, I'm a piece of shit. Behind my girlfriend at the time, back, totally offered to adapt that. And if she would have taken me up on the offer, dude, I would have totally, like, who knows? I could be married to Melina right now.
Okay, my should have been your eighth ex-wife.
Maybe.
Oh, at least you're not arguing that number anymore.
You know, listen.
We're making progress with your acceptance, bro. Now he's got to talk about your Seattle Seahawks.
Dude, you're making fun of something that was a soccer scarf, first and foremost. You realize that, right? It wasn't even a football scarf. But you're bringing football. You're bringing football into this when it had nothing to do with that.
I am making fun of someone that owns a fucking scarf and has a set of testicles. That's what I am making fun of.
Okay, dude. It's okay that you don't understand soccer. I get
dude,
it.
Dude,
I get it, bro.
Scarves
bro,
have to
cool.
do with soccer.
Everything. Just do
it
some
has
research.
Nothing to do with soccer.
This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do before
you're
next week.
You're wearing a fucking scarf.
This is what I want you to do before next Blitz Jerks. I want you to look up how many soccer teams have fucking scarves. And I want
the
you to realize that.
Wearing a scarf needs to take his testicles out of his wife's purse. Woman's purse.
It's okay. You're not into real sports. I get it. Whatever.
Oh, I'm not into real sports. Okay. Cause
the only time you care about soccer, the only time you care about soccer is when the World Cup comes. You're a casual guy that watches casually watches soccer. It's cool. I understand you don't understand the pomp and circumstance of the whole thing. I get it. It's okay. But you can't judge. I'm not judging you for not knowing anything about soccer.
You're wearing a damn scarf.
I don't judge you for not knowing anything about soccer. You shouldn't judge me for having a scarf.
No, I'm judging you for having a scarf, not for knowing. I applaud you for knowing a shitload about soccer. I am judging you for owning a fucking scarf. That is.
I own multiple scarves. I own multiple scarves. It makes me look slick. I own a Burberry scarf. It makes me look good when I have my pea coat on. I look very slick. I look very sophisticated.
So, next week, who is going to be your new podcast host person?
You leaving? Are you leaving?
You own Burberry. Two, it's on a goddamn scarf.
You leaving? Hey, listen, what's worse, having a scarf or having Cialis prescriptions? Come on, does this really take thought?
One helps you get laid, the other one makes you look like an idiot, though.
Cialis does make you look like an idiot, yeah.
nice foot.
Listen, you know, girls have been like, ooh, I like the scarf.
Yeah, because they want to freaking borrow it with their damn purse that they smashed.
Nice play, sir. Nice
it's not because they're trying to hit on you. It's because they need something that matches their damn tan skirt that they have.
I won't say who it was, but I actually had the scarf as a conversation piece and was able to take a girl home because I was wearing the scarf and she rocked my fucking world. This is before. This is after the bipolar one for the one on current. So,
yeah, that's still, you don't get points for wearing a scarf.
I got pussy for wearing a scarf, so that's better than points.
No, you turn in your man card immediately.
I got laid because I wore a scarf, and you're telling me I need to turn in my man card.
It's not because you wore the damn scarf. It just happened to be the icebreaker.
You sound like Walt on fucking Big Lebowski. It's not about the toe, dude.
I can get you a fucking toe, dude.
With nail polish. Calmer than you. Calmer than you. Calmer than you.
And with that, you're alone right now.
And with that, we're going to wrap up the Lucha Jerks. And maybe JJ will join me next week. I don't know. He's undecided right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on how the Thanksgiving goes. And maybe I'll get a star for Christmas. I can fucking burn it.
All right. Cool. I'm gonna send you some homework.
Get rid of this fucking scarf.
I'm gonna send you some homework. I want you to study up, and we'll discuss this next week.
Wait, you're sending me homework?
Yeah, why not?
What am I, fucking 14?
Yeah, you're acting 14 right now.
Because I said a scarf is stupid?
Yeah.
Maybe it's an Arizona thing that I think a scarf is stupid.
I think it might be that makes sense, because why would you ever fucking wear a scarf in Arizona unless it was like 58 degrees there?
Yeah, it's 58 and it's freezing right now. Anyway, next week.
Next week, I think we're going to talk about something that's going on. I don't know what. No, listen, I don't know what good's going to come out of this week in wrestling. Like, what could we talk about that would be positive?
We'll figure it out. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.